Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. I'd like to invite you to follow along if you'd like to in your bulletin. It'll also be on the screens behind me. But again, this is Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. And he gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. And the servant who received the five bags of silver began to invest the money and earned five more. And the servant with two bags of silver also went to work and earned two more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. And after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used the money. And the servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, "Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more." And the master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." And the servant who had received the two bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I have earned two more." And the master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." And then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I did not plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." And then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So I got a phone call from my dad about a week ago. And it was on my cell. It says, you know, "Dad's cell." And I answer it. And before I can even say hello, my dad is already chuckling, right? Now, that's a huge red flag for me, because the first thing I start thinking about is what jerry-rigged contraption has he come up with to chop firewood or to put the satellite on top of the roof. There's always something going on with my dad that he thinks is funny, but I know will eventually kill him. So I'm always a little bit concerned when my dad is chuckling when he answers the phone. I said, "So what did you do now?" He says, no, it's nothing I've done." He says, "I found this thing on Facebook." That's the second red flag, right? Because I know if my dad has been exploring Facebook, who knows what he's discovered. And he says, "It's just this really, really funny story I read about a museum in Denmark." And I'm thinking, "What in the world are you talking about?" He says, no, I'll find it. Again, number three, I'll find it, which means 20 minutes later, he finally tracks down the post from his brother-in-law or something along those lines. Anyways, and this is the story. Actually, it's pretty funny. So a couple of weeks ago, and this is truly a couple of weeks ago, this is at the end of September, a Danish museum was preparing to open a highly anticipated art exhibit titled "Work It Out, an Exploration of People's Relationship with Work." And in preparation for the exhibit, the museum had contracted a well-known Danish artist named Jens Anning, we'll just call him Jens from now on, and had given Jens $84,000, a lot of money, to produce a piece of art for the exhibit. Well, days before the opening of the exhibit, the museum receives a crate from Jens, and containing his art piece. But when the museum volunteers opened the crate, they were perplexed, confused, and actually a little bit concerned. Rather than the art Jens had been contracted to provide, they found two blank canvases, completely blank. Not a piece of, you know, drop of paint, not a slash of acrylic, not a single thing, completely blank. And confused and concerned, the museum volunteers continued to dig through the crate, thinking that maybe a mistake was made and maybe they were at the bottom. But what they did find was not a piece of art, but a note. And the note read this: "Here is the art you requested. It's titled, Take the Money and Run." Well, this morning we are looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and that faithfulness as a fruit of that work. Now, I have to be honest, I'm more than happy to talk about God's faithfulness in my life. I mean, God has been good to us, amen? Amen. God has been good. I can look at the trajectory of my life. I can look at very specific moments of my life with certain clarity, and I know that God has been faithful to me. And so I can approach God's faithfulness to me with confidence. Again and again and again, I have been the recipient of God's great love and mercy. But what about my faithfulness to Him? Well, that's something different. You know, when I consider my faithfulness to God, I can't help a little bit but feel like I'm a fraud. In fact, I feel like I've cheated God. Like God has opened the crate of my life and He found in there an art piece titled, Take the Money and Run. And in an effort to demonstrate my faithfulness to God, I find myself caught in a cycle of desperation and failure. On the one hand, I'm desperate to be faithful to God. But on the other hand, I'm ultimately faithful to only one person, me. And so my faithfulness is marred by selfishness, by pride, by ego. And ultimately, I fail in my faithfulness. Our passage this morning is a story about faithfulness. And it's one of many stories of faithfulness that Jesus tells in the Gospels. In fact, in the Gospel of Matthew alone, there are a number of parables that Jesus tells that are on some level associated with our faithfulness to God. There's the parable of the two sons, the parable of the wicked tenants, the parable of the wedding banquet. You see, faithfulness to God is a central theme of Jesus' teachings. And this is why. You see, we are called to be faithful because we are called, we are entrusted by God to participate in the mission of His love and mercy in the world. That is a central theme of the gospel. And so faithfulness, our response to this call to participate in God's mission, is found throughout Scripture. And we see that at the beginning of our passage in verse 14. We're told again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. The master entrusts his money to his servants. Now, I've spoken on this before, but I'm always just a little bit floored at the idea that God, in His mercy and in His grace, He calls to every single one of us, I want you to be a part of my mission of love and grace to the world that I have created. Think about that for a moment. And that's not just me as a pastor. That's every single one of us who calls ourselves a disciple of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us is called to participate. Every single one of us has been entrusted by the Master. The God of the universe has a role for you and me in sharing His love and mercy with those who need it most. We have a role in God's kingdom. God has entrusted us, and He invites us to be participants in His life. And this invitation, this welcoming of us to participate in God's life, this can be a great source of excitement and of joy. Many of you guys know that I am a big Seattle Seahawks fan, right? Well, I love football because my grandfather loved football. I played football in high school and college because my grandfather absolutely loved the Seattle Seahawks. And I can remember going to my grandfather's house, and I would walk in, and he'd say, "Get over here." And I would go over, and I would sit on my granddad's lap, and we would just watch ESPN all day. And then if the Seattle Seahawks were on, he would sit down, and he would pour himself a drink, and I would sit on his lap, and he would cuss at the TV for 3 hours, because the Seattle Seahawks were really, really bad back then, right? This was like the Dave Craig days and Rick Meyer. Seahawks were terrible. And as my grandfather is sitting there yelling at the TV, I couldn't be happier because I got to be there with him. I got to sit there on his lap as we watched the Seahawks together. This was a special thing my granddad did every Sunday afternoon, and I got to be a part of it. Sitting with my grandfather and watching the Seahawks was a source of joy in my life, because I was given the opportunity to celebrate in His joy. And this is also true of God. Yet for many, the invitation to be faithful, the invitation to participate in God's mission to the world, is not a source of joy, but of fear. And this is certainly the case for our servant in our passage this morning. We read in verse 18, "But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. And then the master returns," and in verse 24 and 25, we are told, "Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, 'Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, and so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back.'" When entrusted with the master's money, the servant goes, and out of fear, he buries it. Now, there is a healthy fear that we ought to carry with us when we are entrusted by God with sharing His gospel. I think that this fear is marked by a healthy appreciation of the gravity of what God is calling us to do. We ought to be a little awestruck by the responsibility, by being entrusted with participating in God's mission to the world. This is what Scripture calls the fear of the Lord. That fear of the Lord is a healthy one. I learned this when I first had fallen in love with Charlie, and I was planning to ask for her hand in marriage. And so I called up Rick, my now father-in-law, and I said, "Rick, I'd like to take you out to lunch." I had never gone to lunch with Rick by myself. He knew exactly what was going on, right? And so we were up in Spokane at the time, and I take Rick out to one of my favorite restaurants there, and we sit down, and I said, "Rick, you know, I love your daughter, and with your permission, I would like to marry her, and so I am asking for Charlie's hand in marriage." And then Rick, who I love dearly, he, for the next half hour, shared with me his hopes. He shared with me his love for Charlie. He shared with me his expectations of me as Charlie's husband. And I left that meeting, honestly, with a lot of joy because he said yes, it was okay. But I also left with a little bit of fear. And it was a good fear. Because for the first time, someone had shared with me the gravity of the decision that Charlie and I would be considering. For the first time, someone had spoke to me, "This is what your responsibility to my daughter is going to be." And that was a little bit scary. And it forced me to think about, what kind of man am I going to be? What kind of husband am I going to be with Charlie? This is a healthy kind of fear. But there is also a fear that is crippling, a fear that strips us of the calling that God has claimed for each of us in the Holy Spirit. And this fear, it's marked by shame. It's a fear that we have only one talent, and we look at the individual who has two talents, or the individual who has five talents, and we say to ourselves, I can't do anything with just this one talent. We fear that faithfulness to the gospel will cost us something that we simply cannot give. Ultimately, I believe we fear that we are incapable of faithfulness because we are incapable of obedience. Our sin and brokenness have a deep hold in our lives, and so when the Master calls us to faithfulness, we run, and we hide, and we bury the talents that He has given us. We hide because we fear our disobedience is in direct relationship to our faithlessness. We cannot be faithful because we are broken and sinful individuals. I want to suggest this morning that this fear is rooted in a misunderstanding of who the Master is. The Master entrusts us not based on our merits, not based on something we have done in some way that we have performed, not in some way that we have pleased Him. The Master entrusts us because it is His joy to do so. God finds great joy in welcoming us into the mission of sharing His love and mercy with the world. And this is the point of the story that Jesus is trying to tell. He's calling every single one of us to the joy of celebrating God's mercy and sharing that with the world around us. And He tells the story of two individuals who have been faithful and have done that. And He says in verses 21 and 23 of these individuals, the Master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. You're going to now have many more opportunities to share God's love in the world. And then He says this, let's celebrate together. Our NLT translation says, let's celebrate together. But if you read the Greek in its literal translation, it's more like, enter into the joy of your Master. Enter into the joy of your Master. When we serve as God's witnesses in the world, putting aside our fear, putting aside our questions and our doubts, whether we are prepared to do so, putting aside whether we are worthy, because we're not, but in God's grace, He still equips us to do so. Putting those things aside, when we witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it brings God great joy. And then God looks at us and He says, this ought to bring you joy as well. You see, faithfulness is not measured by obedience. Our faithfulness is not based on whether or not we do right things and not wrong things. Our faithfulness to God is not measured by whether we are sinners or we are not, because friends, we are, right? We already know this. We are broken people. I mean, look at your life, look at my life. I mean, all of us, right? We are all sinners. But faithfulness is not measured by those things. Faithfulness is measured by the joy we experience when we witness to God's grace, when we witness to the love that He has for every single one. So I want to challenge you with a question today. How are you seeking to be faithful to God? Is it through perfect obedience? Is it through the idea that, well, God has given me this one talent and I better not screw it up, so I'm going to go and I'm going to bury it, and when He returns, I'll come back and I say, look, I knew that you were a harsh individual. I knew that you were full of judgment. I knew that if you looked at my life and you said to me, you are a sinner, you've screwed it up, I use you, you would be angry, and so I hid. And I hid my talent. That's faithfulness, right? If we live our lives in that kind of faithfulness, we will live in shame. We will live in fear. We will hide. But there's another option. Maybe you are seeking faithfulness to God through joy. Maybe you recognize that in His grace and His mercy that we have not earned, that does not belong to us, but is given to us because we serve a good and gracious and merciful God. Maybe because of that, you recognize that your only response can be one of gratitude. It can be in celebrating the joy that God has in sharing that with you. And maybe through that, maybe in that joy, you respond in faithfulness by sharing that with the world around you. We are talking in this series about the fruit of the Spirit, and today's fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. And the fruit of God's faithfulness to each of us is living in the joy of His love, His mercy, and His unconditional love. It is by celebrating in joy the faithfulness of God that we fulfill our call to faithfully witness to Him. And so, friends, my challenge to you this morning is not to seek faithfulness through obedience, because that's impossible. It's to seek faithfulness in celebrating that God has been faithful to you and sharing that joy with those around you. Let that be how we share our faithfulness with the world. Let us pray. God, in your grace and your mercy, you have been faithful to us, Lord. And your faithfulness, Lord, has brought joy both to you, and it ought to bring joy to us as well. And so teach us, God, to be faithful stewards of your gift of mercy by sharing it with the world, by pointing others to the fact that you love them. And let us celebrate together in that promise. We pray these things in Christ's name.